Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe. राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे 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 गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे श्यामा श्याम की जय। डियर डिवोटीज, वी आर हियर इन राधा माधव धाम एंड वी आर इन श्री राशेश्वरी राधा रानी मंदिर. सो द क्वेश्चन आई एम गोइंग टू एड्रेस टू यू दिस वीक इज व्हाई डिवोशन टू राधा एंड कृष्णा हियर in Radha Madhav Dham, or there in Braj in India, you'll find the same thing, devotion to Radha Krishna. Why? So to answer that question, we should start with who are Radha and Krishna. If we understand who Radha and Krishna are, then it will become obvious why we do devotion to them. And after we understand that, then we'll talk about the practical aspect. How do we do devotion to Radha Krishna? And what benefits do we get from that? So, who are Radha and Krishna? I'm going to start just by addressing who is Krishna. Then we'll talk about who is Radha. First, we need to understand who is Krishna. That will help us understand who is Radha. Everybody knows the name Krishna. But people wonder, because most people also know that Sri Krishna appeared on this earth planet a little more than 5,000 years ago. He walked this earth. So is it only since 5,000 years that we know about Sri Krishna? Or did Krishna exist before then? So really the question we need to ask is Krishna described in the Vedas? That's the real question. Is he only in the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata and the other Puranas which were revealed by Vedavyasji 5,000 years ago? So we've only known about Krishna for 5,000 years, or is Krishna in the Vedas? Because Veda is a very important scripture. That's putting it lightly. There are three types of spiritual writings available in the world. They're put in three categories: Krit Granth, Smrit Granth, and Vinirgat Granth. Smrit Granth and Vinirgat Granth are useful to us on the spiritual path, and Krit Granth are to be avoided. Krit Granth means a book written about spirituality or about God, you can say, by someone who has not attained God. Which is like if I write a book on rolling rotis. I can ask everybody here who have so much experience and take lots of notes and learn from you all the ins and outs of making rotis and all the tricks. And then I can do a whole thesis on that and probably get my PhD. But until I actually go and try to roll a roti and put it on the tawa without making it all bunch up, until I actually do that, imagine if I said to someone, oh, I wrote this book on making rotis. Do you want to read it? So what's that person going to ask me? First, have you ever rolled a roti? Then I'm not interested in your book. I don't care how much research you did. So if someone hasn't attained God and they're writing about God, that's useless to us. That's called Krit Granth, and we have an unlimited supply of such books available in the world nowadays, since it's Kaliyug. That's one of the gifts of Kaliyug, that we have an excess of unqualified people trying to write about God. So leaving aside Krit Granth, we have two kinds of useful books, useful scriptures to us on the spiritual path. They are Smrit Granth and Vinirgat Granth. Smrit Granth are those writings written by true saints who have experienced God. So they know God firsthand. Never mind theory, they know God. They've met Him. They have a direct experience. So based on their experience, and now they have a divine mind because they've attained God, they reveal that knowledge in the form of scriptures, like the Puranas, revealed by Vedavyasji. It's a Smrit Granth. This is useful to us because these are real authorities. Those who have attained God, they know God. They have the authority to tell us about God. So the Ramayana, the Puranas, the Darshan Shastras, these are examples of Smrit Granth, Gita, Mahabharata. They're all written by saints. Vinirgat Granth, though, is very special. Vinirgat means not made by anybody. And in the entire world, there's only one such scripture, the Ved. Ved is not even made by God Himself. Although it says in Vedas, Nishvasitamasya Vedaha, God was asleep during Mahapralaya, because during Srishti, when this universe is in existence, He has a lot of work to do. We're all His children. We're all, you know, running around here doing all kinds of karma. God has to keep track of all of that and give us all the consequences. So probably during Mahapralaya, when all of this gets dissolved and all of His bachche are sleeping also soundly inside of Him, so God decides, okay, it's time for me to take a little rest too while my kids rest. Because when I do Srishti again, it's all going to start up. They're doing good karma, they're doing bad karma. I have to keep track of all of that, give them all the consequences. So during Mahapralaya, He was sleeping. And as He exhaled, the Ved was produced from His exhalation. So someone might think, there, Ved was made by God. No, it wasn't made by God. Ved was already existing, but during Mahapralaya, since there are no souls living in the world, nobody needs the knowledge of Ved. Brahmavit Shruti Murdhini. Ved says, when a soul attains God, then they don't need Veda anymore. This actually says the saint, the God-realized saint, walks putting his feet on the head of the Vedas, meaning he's above and beyond Ved. Because why is Ved there? To take us to God, ordinary souls to God. Once we get to God, we don't need Vedas anymore. Ved is just to get us to God. So who's there during Mahapralaya? There are still souls who are active, but they're the souls who have attained Radha Krishna. They're in the divine world. So they're enjoying the divine bliss in the divine world. They don't need Vedas. So the universe is dissolved. All the souls who are not God realized, they also come. The whole, all of Maya, all the souls who aren't God realized, they all come and stay in God's Mahodar. Means in his belly. Everything is stored. And it waits for the next srishti. So during that time, there's no need of Ved. Ved is also stored inside God. And then when srishti happens again, the souls go forth. They get human birth. Then they need to wonder, oh, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is all of this? And all of those answers are in Ved. So God produces Ved. Before he even does srishti, he produces Ved. But Ved is not made by God. It is eternal. Just like he doesn't make the souls, it's the same souls who were active in the previous creation. They were resting inside God. He sends them out. He didn't make any souls. The whole universe that's made of Maya, Mayic energy, he didn't make that either. The Mayic energy it's the same Mayic energy that was there in the last srishti. It was dormant inside of God. He just reactivated it. So he doesn't make Maya, he doesn't make the souls, and he doesn't make Ved. The souls are eternal, Maya is eternal, and Ved is also eternal. So it's called apaurusheya, not made by God, not made by anyone. But it's also called paurusheya, from Purush. Purush means God, not man. In this sense, it means God. It's paurusheya because it comes out of God. It was in God and he produces it outwardly. But he doesn't make it. It's eternally existing. The knowledge in Ved, therefore, is also eternal. Whatever is told in Ved, forms of God, Maya, souls, all the things that are described in Ved are also eternal because the Ved is eternal. It doesn't change. Every time Krishna produces it, it's in the same form. Kalena nashta pralaye vaniyam veda sangita adau brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam madatmakah. Shri Krishna tells Uddhava in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is telling him what happens, that over time, Ved is lost from the earth planet. So he says, I have to produce the knowledge again. But he produces it in the exact same form that it was before. Ved never changes. My point in all of this is that the Ved is the foundation of all scriptural knowledge. Whatever's in Gita, whatever's in Mahabharata, whatever's in Ramayana, whatever's in the Puranas, it's all just a further explanation of what's in the Ved. It's all based on Ved. So that's why Ved is the original authority, the first authority. So naturally people would wonder, is Krishna mentioned in the Ved? We know he's in the Puranas, we know he's in the Mahabharata, we know he's in the Gita. Is he in the Ved? So Ved has some sections. Part of the Ved is the Upanishad. There are many Upanishads. Originally, 1,180 Upanishads. Nowadays, just over 200 are available. So Ved is very extensive. And it covers all kinds of topics, but the part of Ved that deals with who is God and how do you find God, that's called Upanishad. And there are different Upanishads. There's one Upanishad called Gopala Tapaniya Upanishad. Gopal, you know, is a name of Krishna. So the very first mantra of Gopal Purva Tapaniya Upanishad is Kah Paramo Devah. A question. Who is the Param Dev? Who is Supreme God? And the next mantra says, Krishno Havai Paramam Daivatam. A simple answer. Shri Krishna is Supreme God. He is the Param Dev. Later on, Gopal Tapaniya Upanishad says, Krishna Eva Paro Devas Tam Dhyayet Tam Bhajet Tam Rasayet. This says, Krishna alone is Supreme God. Krishna Eva. Eva means only. Krishna Eva Paraha Devaha. He is the Supreme God. So, remember Him, adore Him, worship Him, and through His grace, you'll get to experience His divine bliss. Tamekam Govindam Satchidananda Vigraham. Again, further on in the same Upanishad. It tells that Krishna Himself is Supreme God. He alone is Supreme God, and He is Satchidananda. He is the form of divine bliss, the form of divine knowledge. So we see Shri Krishna is mentioned in the Vedas. In fact, there's another Upanishad called Krishna Upanishad, which tells all about His descension. So He's mentioned throughout the Vedas and the Upanishads. So we know that if Krishna is in the Ved, it means Shri Krishna is eternal. In our scriptures, there's even a description, a definition of what Krishna's name means. Krishi shabdo hi sattartho nashchananda rupaka satta svananda yor yoga chit param brahma chochyate. Krishna, what does it mean? It means Sat Chit Anand. This is one of the meanings of Krishna. Anand means bliss. Bliss means divine happiness. Chit means divine mind, perfect divine knowledge, and divine consciousness. So He's aware, alive, and He has divine knowledge, divine mind. And Sat means that He's eternally existing. He's a fact. He's not created by anyone. He's not imagined by anyone. He eternally exists, and He has unlimited potency, unlimited power. He is Sat Chit Anand. And He is Param Brahm. He is Supreme God. So this word Brahm keeps being used when we say, who is Krishna? Ved is telling us Krishna is Brahm. So what is Brahm? Brihati Brihayati iti tat param brahma. See, we got a definition of Krishna and it said, param brahma chochyate. Krishna means Brahm, Supreme Brahm. So what does Brahm mean? You go to Ved, Ved tells you what Brahm means. Brahma means the one who is unlimited, who is beyond everyone and everything, who is the greatest. That is Brahm. And the second meaning of the word Brahm is the one who can make others as great as He is. So it means Krishna is not only the greatest, but if you surrender to Him, He has the power to make you equally great. In other words, through His grace, you can know Him and you can experience the same bliss that He is. Bhogamatra Samya Lingacha Brahma Sutra. You experience the same amount of bliss that Krishna experiences through His grace. So He is Brahm, that is Krishna. What does that mean? These are words to us. Ved also cautions. tasyamaham, tasyamaham maham, tasyana vedasah avigyatam vijanatam vigyatam avijanatam. Kena Upanishad. The one who thinks he can know God doesn't know anything. And the one who understands that God cannot be known, he understands the truth. So we should be cautious, we should be aware that Krishna can't be known just by hearing a description of him. He can't be known by hearing speeches about him. He can only be known through his grace. But we need something to go on. We need to know who he is, at least theoretically, and how we're related to him. Then we can do devotion to him, and by doing devotion, we'll get his grace. But just keep in mind that I'm not trying to give you the knowledge of who Krishna is. Really. I can't do that. But I can share what the scriptures say and what Kripaluji Maharaj explains about who Krishna is so that we can start doing devotion to him or do better devotion to him. So who is Sri Krishna? We can learn something more from the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, as I mentioned, is a Smrit Granth. It's the most important of the 18 Puranas revealed by Vedavyas. After he had revealed all the other Puranas, even after he had revealed the Gita, he had rewritten the Ramayana, he had written the Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, he had rewritten the other Darshan Shastras like Sankhya, Yoga, etc. He had reproduced all the Vedas. Vedavyas did that 5,000 years ago. He reproduced all of our Hindu scriptures, and he was still feeling like something was incomplete. So Naradji came to him and he said, Vedavyasji, you haven't revealed the greatness of selfless devotion to Krishna. Pure selfless bhakti. So you have to explain how devotion to Krishna is above everything else. It's the paradharma. So Vedavyasji did that in the Bhagavatam. And while he was doing that, while he was writing the Bhagavatam, he reconciled very cleanly, very succinctly, the whole system. Meaning he explained it very systematically, how all the different forms of God are interrelated. He said, think of it like this. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. This also reveals the greatness of Krishna, his supremacy. He said, all the forms of God, they're all in three categories. So simple. Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagwan. Brahm means Nirakar Brahm, formless God. That's one category. Then you have Paramatma, that means Almighty God. That's the second category. And then you have Bhagwan, which means the supreme blissful form of God. Playful, charming, lively. These are the three main categories, you can say. Brahm, Paramatma, Bhagwan. Now, Supreme God appears in these three ways. As supreme, the supreme loving form of God, Bhagwan. The supreme almighty form of God, Paramatma. And formless. But it's not three different gods. It's one single God who appears in these three forms eternally. If you take water, you can freeze it and it becomes solid. Then you call it ice. If you melt it and you keep applying heat, it will become vapor. You'll call it steam. So the same substance, H2O, has these three different states in which it exists. Something like that. God exists in these three states. But it's the same God. Just like it's the same water. The same water is ice. The same water is liquid. The same water is in a vapor state. The difference where this analogy breaks down, because every material analogy that you can give to explain about a divine thing has its limitations. So where this one breaks down is that Krishna, God, does not have to change himself. Like you take water and you freeze it, it becomes ice. Now it's no longer liquid, it's solid. Krishna doesn't change back and forth. Like 1 second he's Bhagwan, 1 second he's Paramatma, then he becomes formless, he becomes Brahm. He doesn't change himself back and forth like that. He eternally exists in all three states. So formless, you know, formless, Nirakar Brahm. Paramatma is his almighty form, Vishnu. He also has some other forms, almighty forms, like Shiva, Durga. These are the three main. There are some other affiliated forms, like Ganeshji, Kartikeya, Amba, many, many forms, Saraswati, Lakshmi. These are all affiliated to the almighty power of Shri Krishna. And then you have his playful, the supreme, the form in which you can say, Almighty God is bliss. But this playful, loving form, like Krishna with the peacock feather, that's the bliss of the bliss. Put it that way. God is bliss. So formless God is also bliss. Almighty God is also bliss. But Shri Krishna in his form as Krishna, not formless, not in his almighty form, but as Shri Krishna, he is the bliss of the bliss. So the bliss of the bliss is the source of the bliss. He's the absolute bliss. So that's why we say Shri Krishna is Supreme God, because all the other forms of God are included in his personality. They're part of him. They are him. He himself appears in those other forms. So Shri Krishna is himself as Krishna with the peacock feather and flute, his playful, charming, loving form. The same Shri Krishna is Almighty, God Vishnu, Shiva, etc. And the same Shri Krishna is formless God. Brahmano hi pratishthaham. He says in Gita, Brahm is part of me. Formless God is established in me. Like sunlight, it doesn't exist on its own, it comes from the sun. In the same way, formless God is like the light of Krishna's body, nothing more. Again, a material analogy. So one single supreme God, Shri Krishna, is Bhagwan and simultaneously Paramatma and simultaneously formless. And he doesn't have to change back and forth. He's not, oh, now I need to be Vishnu. Well, now I need to be Shiva. Well, now I need to be Krishna. No, he's omnipresent as Krishna, and at the same time he's omnipresent as Ram, and at the same time he's omnipresent as Shiva and Vishnu and Durga, and at the same time he's omnipresent for the jnanis as formless God. But one single Shri Krishna is doing all of that right now as we speak, and he's been like that since eternity. So it means Shri Krishna eternally exists in all of these forms, but to understand it more simply, just keep it in three categories. His loving form, playful form, the form we're used to, Shri Krishna. His almighty form called Paramatma. So his supreme blissful form is called Bhagawan. Almighty form is called Paramatma. Formless is called Brahm. It's like sugar cane, gura, and chini. It's the same thing, right? But it's further refined. There's more and more madhurya, more and more sweetness. So the same Brahm is bliss. But that bliss is experienced in a more tangible way when Krishna reveals his form as Almighty God. And the supreme form of that bliss is revealed when he's in his form as Krishna, or Radha Krishna. I'm just telling you in brief. This is how Vedavyasji tells it in the Bhagavatam. That's only one shlok. He's saying, you want to know about Shri Krishna? He can go on writing for millions of shlokas and never run out. There's so much to tell. So he's trying to give us some idea that there's a divine system. It all comes from Shri Krishna. He's Supreme God. All the other forms are part of His personality. In fact, Vedavyasji says, Avatara hyasankhyeya hare sattvanidher dvija. That Bhagwan, Shri Krishna, He has taken uncountable avatar, asankhya, uncountable times He's descended. He has uncountable forms. But Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Ete Chanchakala Punsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Bhagavan Swayam, that's Shri Krishna. That Bhagavan, He's the one who takes all the forms. Bhagavatam gives another analogy, like you have a lake, and out of that lake you have hundreds and thousands of literal rivulets, little rivers emanating. Those are like all the avatar of God. But who is the one who's avatari, who's the one taking avatar? Oh, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That is Shri Krishna. They all come from Him. He further clarifies. I'm just giving you the technical details tonight. He says that Shri Krishna takes Purush avatar, Purushavatar. Jagrihe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibhi Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna, in His form as Bhagwan, He doesn't do any almighty work. He only does leelas. The almighty forms of God don't do leelas, like playing with His sakhas, any kind of leela, with Mother Yashoda, with gopis. Ram also does leelas, because Ram is a mixed form, meaning some almightiness and some of the prema shakti, the divine love power, which allows those leelas to happen. So Shri Krishna and Ram are called leela avatar. They do leelas. If there's any almighty work to be done, that's done by Krishna's almighty form, Vishnu, or the other affiliated forms. So this says, Jagrihe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibhi. Bhagavan Shri Krishna, Jo Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That Bhagavan Shri Krishna, when He decides, oh, it's time to manifest the universe during Mahapralaya, what does He do? He takes avatar. As whom? It's called Pratham Purushavatar. Purush means Almighty God. His first descension is as Mahavishnu. He takes His form as Mahavishnu. He eternally has that form, but in that form as Mahavishnu, then He activates Maya and the universe is produced. Okay, step one. Step two, take a second Purushavatar, Dvitiya Purushavatar. This is called Garbhodashayi Mahavishnu. The first one is called Karanaranovashayi Mahavishnu. He's the origin of the whole universe. That's just a fraction of Krishna's personality. Yasya eka nishvasita kalamatha valambya Jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha Vishnur mahan sa iha yasya kalavishesho Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma Sanghita. When Brahma wanted to do His little part of Srishti, which I'll get to in a minute, He didn't know how to do it, so He prayed to Krishna. And in His prayer, He said, O Krishna, that your form, Mahavishnu, who's so powerful, he creates the whole universe, he's a tiny fraction of your personality. He says he's your ansh, he's your kala. Kala means power. That's how great you are. Oh Shri Krishna, I surrender to you. So Mahavishnu, in that form, Krishna produces the universe. That's a tiny, it takes a tiny fraction of his power to do that. Then Garbhodashayi, his second avatar, he becomes omnipresent in the universe. Then the third, Tritiya Purush, he becomes Kshirodashayi Vishnu. What's that? The universe is unlimited, so in order to accommodate the unlimited souls who need to come and take birth, he has to produce unlimited Brahmand. Brahmand means a planetary system with an earth planet, a place where the souls can live. So he has to produce unlimited of those. So he has to reproduce himself unlimited times. He takes unlimited avatar as Kshirodashayi Vishnu, who is the Vishnu who oversees our little Brahmand. There are uncountable Brahmand. In each Brahmand, Krishna has come as Vishnu. He's called Kshirodashayi Vishnu because his abode is called Kshir Sagar, the ocean, divine ocean of milk. It's like his embassy. His main divine abode is one and it's omnipresent, but he establishes an embassy in every Brahmand in this universe. Like a branch office, you can say. The home office is there in the divine world. So there, managing the branch office, that's Kshirodashayi Vishnu. So when we talk of Vishnu, normally we're talking about, you know, you see a picture of Vishnu lying on Sheshnag, the ocean of milk is around him, Lakshmiji is pressing his legs. That's Kshirodashayi Vishnu of our Brahmand. Mahavishnu lives in the divine world in Vaikunth abode, and Krishna's abode is above that, Golok and Vrindavan. So imagine the one who's responsible for looking after, for maintaining, protecting our Brahmand. He is just a fraction, that's Vishnu, who is a fraction of Mahavishnu's personality, who is a fraction of Shri Krishna's personality. That's why Shri Krishna is said to be Supreme God. He is Purnavatar. He is Purnatam Purushottam Brahm. Because everything is within him. And only when he's in his form as Krishna, with the peacock feather and the flute, is he revealing his total personality, complete power. In his almighty form, he's revealing a tiny fraction of who he actually is. And that almighty form also has ansh, like Vishnu of this Brahmand. And then along with Vishnu, you have Shiva and Brahma in each and every Brahmand. So imagine, uncountable Brahmand. So uncountable Vishnus, or you can say uncountable dissensions of Vishnu. Vishnu is only one. Uncountable dissensions of Shiva and uncountable Brahmas. Sankhyachet rajasamasti navishvanankadachan. Brahma Vishnu Shivadinam tatha sankhyana vidyate. Devi Bhagavat Puran says, even if someone could count every grain of sand and particle of dust on this whole earth planet, although it's impossible, but technically you could do it because it's not an unlimited number, it's limited, just a lot. Even if you could count all of that, you still couldn't count the number of Brahmand in this universe. It's impossible because it's unlimited. And it goes on to say, similarly, you could never count how many Vishnus and Shivas and Brahmas there are because there's one of each in each Brahmand. So it's mind-boggling to think of Shri Krishna's greatness. Jag pe khan sab dekhan hare, विधि हरि शंभु न चावन हारे. Even Vidhi Hari Shambhu means the Brahma, the Vishnu, and the Shiva of our Brahman. They're all divine personalities. The caretakers, the governors of our Brahman. Brahma creates our Brahman. Not the whole universe, just the Brahman with the power he gets from Krishna. Vishnu protects. Shiva destroys it when the time comes. But they all do so with the power they receive from Shri Krishna. So none of them can know Shri Krishna. This says they're all dancing to the tune that Shri Krishna is playing. Sri Jami Tanni Yukto Ham Haro Harati Tadvashah Purusham Vishvarupena Paripati Trishakti Dhrik Bhagavatam. Brahma is expressing that I do srishti of one little Brahman with the power I get from Shri Krishna. Vishnu protects with the power he gets from Shri Krishna, and Shiva destroys with the power he gets from Shri Krishna. So we have some understanding. Since our little Brahman is just a little part of this whole endless universe, and the three governors of our Brahman are so great, Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, and they are only ansh of Mahavishnu, and he's only one little ansh of Shri Krishna. So we can have some mathematical estimate of how great Shri Krishna is. Who is he? Why does Ved say he is Supreme God? When Shri Krishna was on this earth planet, after he had left Braj and gone to Mathura and on to Dwarika, at some point, Brahma decided to come and visit him, thinking that, oh, Shri Krishna is in my Brahmand. Out of all the universe, there are so many Brahmand. There's only one Shri Krishna. He's came to my Brahmand. So he was feeling important. Oh, Shri Krishna has come to my Brahmand. I'll go and visit him in Dwarika. He'll probably receive me, you know, with great respect since I'm so important. He was thinking something like this. So Shri Krishna, knowing, and Brahma is his devotee, so he can't allow the pride to remain in a devotee's heart, because the pride keeps you from God. When that pride is there, how can you surrender to God? So how can you get his grace? So he said, I have to do something to teach Brahma, so his pride is removed. So Brahma is coming down. He comes down to Dwarika, and he's stopped at the gates of the city. Sudarshan Chakra is always watching around Dwarika, guarding the whole city. Plus, there are so many other guards. So, Brahma was stopped. Who are you and what's your business here? So, Brahma said, well, I'm Brahma and I'm here to see Shri Krishna. The guard said, please wait here. I'll go relay the message to Krishna. So, Krishna said, you tell him, I want to know which Brahma is he. So the guard went back and said, kindly please tell me which Brahma are you? He said, what are you talking about, which Brahma? I'm Brahma. I'm the creator. I created this whole Brahmand. I'm Brahma. So then to teach Brahma a lesson, Krishna summoned all the other Brahmas from all the other Brahman in this universe. And they started coming, descending to Dwarika in like a long line. And our Brahma is watching. And he's awestruck, not just by the number of Brahmas coming, but by their size. Because our Brahma is the smallest of all the Brahmas. The Brahma, his size, is determined by the size of the Brahmand. Our Brahmand is the smallest kind of Brahmand. So our Brahma only has four faces, front, back, side, and side. The bigger Brahmas of the bigger Brahmans, they have more faces, like 8 faces, 10 faces, 100 faces, 1,000 faces, bigger and bigger Brahmas, and they're just coming, and they're taller and taller and looking more powerful. So now our Brahma is thinking, oh, which Brahma am I? Now I get it. So this event, which is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it shows us, again, that when Brahma is such a great personality, yet who is he in front of Shri Krishna? that Shri Krishna is the one to whom we do devotion. But a question still remains, is that Shri Krishna, about whom Ved says, yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayantyabhisam vishanti tad brahma? Oh, he is Brahma. From him the whole universe comes. In him the whole universe resides. Back into him the whole universe and all the souls go at the time of Mahapralaya. That is Brahma, and that Brahma is Shri Krishna. Is that Supreme God that you've been hearing this description of, is he the same one who came on this earth as a dark complexioned little boy who was crawling around and had to learn to walk and was falling down because he couldn't walk, and then he couldn't talk properly like little babies, he had to learn how to talk? Is that the same Supreme God that we're calling that same Krishna, who is seemingly an ignorant and powerless little boy? Is that the same Shri Krishna? Tomorrow we'll take up that topic. So we'll spend the last few minutes tonight doing some kirtan.
Balihar, balihar, teen brajnar, jinke adhin rahe hari sakar. जग का अनादि पिता भरतार जो था जग का अनादि पिता भरतार बना ब्रज शिशु नंद कुमार
सोई बना ब्रज शिशु नंद कुमार
सोई बना ब्रज शिशु नंद कुमार साकार
बलिहार बलिहार दिन ब्रजनार दिन के अधीन रहे हरि साकार
जाके डर 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 श्रुति न उचार
जाके
डर 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 श्रुति न उचार
जाके डर 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 श्रुति न उचार
सोई डरे मैया कर साटी निहार डरे मैया कर साटी निहार
सोई डरे मैया कर साटी निहार
जाकी माया ने नचाया सारा संसार
जाकी माया ने नचाया सारा संसार
जाकी माया ने छाया सारा संसार
राति माया ने न छाया सारा संसार
सोई नाचे बूढ़ी अशुमती करतार
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 बलियार बलियार दीनेन्द्र जनार जिनके अधीन रहे हरि साकार विधि हरि हर गए हार
जिन माया विधि हरि हर गए हार
जिन माया विधि हरि हर गए हार
जिन माया विधि हरि हर गए हार
सोई नाचे गोपी छाछ बलिहार
सोई नाचे गोपी छाछ पर बलिहार
सोई नाचे गोपी छाछ पर बलिहार
सोई नाचे गोपी छाछ पर बलिहार
बलिहार बलिहार दीनेन्द्र जनार के अधीन रहे हरि साकार
बलिहार बलिहार दीनेन्द्र जनार जिनके अधीन रहे हरि साकार
जिन आगे मांगे भीख ज्ञानी योगी झार
जिन आगे मांगे भीख
ज्ञानी योगी झार
आगे मांगे भीख ज्ञानी योगी झार
सोई गोपी आगे मांगे भीख दे दे प्यार
सोई गोपी आगे मांगे भीख दे दे यार
सोई गोपी आगे मांगे दे दे प्यार
सोई गोपी आगे मांगे दे दे प्यार
प्यार के है वश हरि बस यह सार
प्यार के है वश हरि बस यह सार
प्यार के है वश हरि बस यह सार
प्यार के वश हरि बस यह सार
जानी ले हूँ जो कृपालु जाननिहार
जानी ले हूँ जो कृपालु जाननिहार
जानी ले हूँ जो कृपालु बलिहार बलिहार दीनेन्द्र जनार जिनके अधीन रहि हरि साकार
बलिहार बलिहार दीनेन्द्र जनार जिनके अधीन रहि हरि साकार
बलिहार बलिहार दीनेन्द्र जनार जिनके
हरि साकार बलिहार।
साकार
बलिहार बलिहार दिन प्रजनार दिन के आधीन रहे साकार।
बोलिए वृंदावन बिहारी।